Okay, Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 21, and we'll read verses 21 through 23. We'll stand for the reading of God's word if you're able to. Proverbs 21, verses 21 through 23. Beginning to read. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we come before you and we look at this passage of Scripture and we think about the matter of following righteousness, mercy, and obtaining life, righteousness, and honor. Lord, we think about how the wise person can break down the fortresses through their wisdom. Lord, help us as we also look at the matter of keeping our tongue. When do we keep it? How do we keep it? Why do we keep it? We ask that you speak to us through your word now in Jesus' name. Amen. I think you may be seated. We talked some about verse 21 already last week. We looked at the fact that if we follow righteousness and mercy, we pursue it, that we will obtain righteousness. You know, none of us start off our Christian life righteous. Each one of us has to follow it. We have to have it as the goal. We are pursuing it. I don't know if anyone's ever, you probably have, you've probably pursued people before in your vehicle. Maybe someone's forgot something and, you know, before the age of cell phones, you could just call them and say, hey, you left your purse. You know, you'd follow after them and try to get their attention. I remember once we were moving to Saskatchewan when I was 16 years old and my dad's got the U-Haul trailer and a boat, or U-Haul truck and a boat trailer, and the trailer blew a tire and dad's driving down the road kicking up, you know, chunks of tire and he can't see it. And I'm pursuing after him in my 1970 Datsun, trying to catch up to him. And you should have seen that Datsun. It was loaded. I mean, on the way, people were taking pictures of it. It was loaded. It was, you know, bicycles strapped down. And there I was with that little Datsun pickup, trying to pursue after Dad to let him know. And I can pulling back that, you know, the old-fashioned light switches, the little metal knob, and going like that, trying to get Dad's attention. Pursuing. We're supposed to pursue after righteousness and mercy. And you might think, well, we're pursuing after mercy to obtain it. Well, the idea is that we are pursuing after it where we are giving righteous or giving mercy. We're not just looking to receive mercy ourselves and not to give it to others. As a Christian has been given mercy. And so therefore, we aim to deliver mercy to those that do not deserve it. We never deserved God's mercy, and so we have to give it to others. People that hurt us, that say mean things to us, people that are not kind. We pursue it where we give them mercy, and we see that we find life, righteousness, and honor. Of course, for the believer, the first area of finding life is Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we looked last week at John 17:3, that life is to know God and Jesus. That is the true definition of life. That's the essence of what we are looking for. Yes, we aim to have a home in heaven. I say aim, that we, for the believer, that is our assurance that we have everlasting life in heaven. In addition to that, we want to know Jesus here and now. So not only do we know, we deepen our relationship with Jesus in the aspect of finding life, but even the life that we live in a physical sense, as a believer, we no longer have all the the pain and sorrow that comes with this life, the pain and sorrow that comes with wrong decisions, sinful decisions, if we're walking in the Spirit, not in the flesh, the sorrow of this world will not impact us. We will not be living through the consequences of our own sin. So we'll find life. We will find righteousness, doing that which is right. Remember, of course, that we're being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. I think through in the book of Romans, where the Apostle Paul was speaking of the Jews that were trying to create their own righteousness. They had their own set of rules that was independent of God's rules. They might have used certain verses in the Old Testament there to then spawn off for their own rules, but they corrupted God's laws. So we are clothed with Christ's righteousness as we pursue righteousness. And we also obtain honor. And that's not what we're pursuing. We're not pursuing honor. We ought never, ever to pursue honor. But we just know that that is a byproduct of living righteously. That's what comes of it. You know, Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of God are riches and honor and life. Romans 2:10 says, but glory, honor, and peace to everyone that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Glory, honor, and peace. Well, I certainly want peace. And if the Lord blesses me with glory and honor, that's his prerogative. But I certainly want peace in my life. That's something I hope to obtain. Okay, well, we'll move on to verse 22 now. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. So the wise man scaleth the city of the mighty. Let's take a look at a few other verses and then we'll comment on this. So Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 19. Ecclesiastes 7:19. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise man, the wise, more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. I'll read that again. Wisdom strengtheneth the wise more than 10 mighty men which are in the city. And then a couple of chapters over to Ecclesiastes 9:13 through 18. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, and it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then I said, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. The words of wise men are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that ruleth over fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. So he's speaking about this little city, and that there was a few men within it, and a mighty force came against it, and there was this one man that was wise, and he was able to give them wisdom which helped them to save their city, unfortunately. For that, I mean, he does point out that everyone forgot what that wise man did. At the same time, we're not looking for recognition, are we? So as we think about the wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. We got to remember that God is not interested in our physical might. He's not interested in our intellect, how smart we are. He wants to see us lay up knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And by that, we can have victories over principalities and powers. Powers of darkness. We can have power over Satan and his forces. We can have power over his plan, where we can be used to thwart Satan's plan in our life. And to a certain extent, we can be useful in this world as well, to go against his plans. And that's not, again, remembering that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, as Corinthians tells us, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Remember, the battle starts here first, in our own heart. Don't be looking for the battle out there. The battle will come to us. Look here. Let's wage war against the sin nature that and the sin that doth so easily beset us. We don't need to look for a fight. The fight will come to us. Let's deal with our own self. So if we are laying up wisdom, for laying up knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, we will have power through the Holy Spirit to overcome the wiles of the devil. We'll be fully equipped with our armor, sword, shield, buckler, helmet, the gospel shoes. You know, in Solomon's parable here about this one city, I just recently listening to an audio story, and it was interesting. This story is actually very informative, and it's kind of laying some of the history in the Middle East there with Osama bin Laden and some of the different groups. Well, it sounds like he actually wasn't as mighty a warrior as he liked to portray himself. He had quite a few bungles. This one time, he led a group of his warriors against an Afghani post, and there, in sight of the Afghani post, you know, they were kind of organizing themselves to overrun this, and all but one of the Afghanis walked away from their post. But one man sat on a machine gun, and he sat there, and he waited. And then Osama bin Laden had one of his men, you know, start an oration about, you know, the going after the infidel. And at that point, this man, the lone man on his machine gun, he opened up on the machine gun, and then it was pandemonium and chaos. There wasn't a whole lot. I think there was one man that was killed in it, but this one man held off that whole force until his barrel went white hot and warped on him, and then he just walked away. But you know, this one man in this city, through his wisdom, he prevented this force from breaking in. And so let us lay up knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, so that we can fight against the wiles of the wicked one. Again, remembering the battle starts here first. Again, don't go looking for the battle. It'll come to you. Okay, let's take a look at the next verse. Excuse me. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Excuse me. Don't know that I have a cold or a cough, but something just got me going here. So, next verse, 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue. You know, this has got to be one of the most important areas of the Christian walk, is keeping our tongue. And a lot of times I feel that people don't realize You know, a lot of times I think people say, oh, yeah, I keep my tongue. It's no worries. But and yet, they do end up speaking things that are harmful, things that they ought not to speak. So let's take a look at some verses. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, please. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. Again, our text there was, whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Thank you, Mom. Thank you. So, if we keep our mouth, our tongue, we watch what we say, to who we say it, we keep ourselves from troubles. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. As believers, we've got to be so careful about what we say, who we say it to, when we say it. Sometimes there is a need to speak a word to somebody or to convey some information. But oftentimes, it's not the right time. It's not the right person. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So those three main categories. Am I the right person to say this? Is this the right person to speak it to? If so, is this the right time to say it? And oftentimes, we are tempted to tell somebody else's news. We have a rule in our house that if something, like if there's some big news in the family or whatever, let's say, you know, the one child saw something. You know, sometimes it's as exciting as a police car down parked across the street. It's the person. The others in the family are not supposed to go and tell that news. If the one person saw it, or it's really their news. Maybe they're going to go and spend time with Nana and Papa. They are the ones to tell that news. And so as we think about in our Christian life, is it our news to tell? Is it for us to tell? And oftentimes it's not. And I would tell you, in the context of a Christian home, oftentimes it is the duty, the responsibility of the man to give that news. And he, representing that household, should be the one that is disseminating that news. And so got to be careful. Are we the right person? And then secondly, is this the right person to give the news to? You know, is this person directly involved in this situation? My father-in-law has a saying, you know, that you have to determine whether you are part of the problem or part of the solution. And of course, that's only in relation to when there's a situation, a negative situation. Are you a part of the problem or are you part of the solution? And if not, you don't say anything. And I mean, the part of the solution part, we often kid ourselves and think, oh, I know exactly the solution to this problem. I'll step up and tell it. But we have to determine, is this the right person to hear this news? Are they directly involved? Do they need to know this news? Is it integral? Is it important for them to know this? And then thirdly, is this the right time? You know, sometimes I know I've been guilty of going, oh man, if I don't tell this person right now, I'm going to forget. I better tell them right now. And then you realize after, you know what, that was not the right setting to tell them that news. should have waited. I should have put some thought and prayer into it. I should look for the right opportunity to be able to help them, you know, give them the news in a way that they would be able to absorb it, and they could spend some time thinking on it. So is this the right time? Our lips are very dangerous. It's probably the most dangerous organ we have. It's the most dangerous weapon we have at our disposal. Lips have started wars. Rhetoric has started wars, where countless people, millions of people, have died because of somebody's words. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 13. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. The wicked is snared. You think of an animal that's caught in a trap, that they've got one foot in a trap, and with the other three feet, they're pulling and trying to get out of that trap, and they're becoming panicky. That's what happens to the wicked when they're snared with their lips. Isn't it just a whole lot better to guard the doors of our mouth? To say, no, I'm going to be wise about this. No, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not the right person to speak this. This is not the right person to hear this. This is not the right time to say this. Proverbs 13:3. He that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. I think we all have to be constantly taking inventory of ourselves on multiple different levels. How is my prayer life? How is my time in God's Word? How am I doing at keeping the war on my lips? How am I doing with speaking the right words to the right people, the right time? There's other factors too, isn't there? I mean, with speaking the truth in love. A person might say, well, yeah, I am the right person to say this. This is the right person to hear it. This is the right time to say it. And I'm going to say it. But did they speak the truth in love? Were they kind? Yes, a person can be absolutely confident. They can say, thus saith the Lord. See, this is what the Word of God says about this. There's still kindness. I can't remember exactly how he says it, but Pastor Clarence Sexton, he says something to the effect that our compassion must go as deep as our conviction. Where if we are convicted about something and we've got to say something, that our compassion has got to go just as deep. And I believe that. I mean, you see it in Samuel. I just so love that passage where he wept the whole night long. And then he went and spoke to King Saul. And it was very forthright. And yet, he had a love for him, a true love. Proverbs chapter 17, please. Proverbs chapter 17, verses 27 and 28. He that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. So even a fool can fool people by just not speaking. And so if we want to be wise, we need to watch our words. And people will remember our words. They'll remember them and they'll use them against us. If there are words that were spoken in haste, if they are inappropriate words, they will use them against us. We will be snared like that rabbit in the trap, in the snare. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. There again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We can lift somebody up with our tongue. We can encourage somebody with our tongue. We can give them the words of life. We can bring them to the cross of Christ. Or we can destroy them with our tongue. And so many people have been destroyed with the tongue of someone else. Let's jump ahead into the New Testament, James chapter 1, verse 26. James chapter 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. To bridle our tongue. Think of a horse, right? You put a bridle on a horse. And depending on what kind of horse it is, if that horse has been trained carefully, you can put a soft bit in their mouth. Or no bit at all. Use a hackamore. If it's a horse that's bullheaded and fighting you, you may put a harder bit in there. That, you know, if they go and fight the bit, you pull down on that, and they're gonna learn a lesson. Hopefully it doesn't have to happen. Hopefully you can. I mean, every horseman wants to have a horse that can be just gently pulled one way or the other. I mean, I was always dreaming about the being able to not use a bridle at all and just use my knees. And I play around with one horse, and he was a little bullheaded. But if we want to be wise, we have to bridle our tongue. Be careful about the words we say. We got that familiar passage there in James chapter 3, verses 2 on down. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also, the ships, which, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, but boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and is set on fire of the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therefore curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive tree berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt, water, and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness and wisdom. Earlier we read there that the tongue can no man tame in verse 8. And a person might say, well, if that's the case, then what hope have I got? Well, we have no hope if we are operating in the works of the flesh. But if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're allowing the Spirit to control us, He has power over us. And it can happen. We can bridle our tongue. So as we kind of close this thought down, just remember, what we say in our day-to-day life with each other, what we say behind closed doors, what we say on the telephone, what we say by, you know, text message or social media, what we post on social media for those that have social media, let's be very careful. It's not just the words of our mouth. It's what we put into print, what we put on page. Let's be so careful about what we say, to who we say it, how we say it, and when we say it. Okay, let's close the word of prayer. Dear Father, we ask, Lord, particularly of this matter of the tongue. Lord, we pray that you would help us to be wise. Help us to bridle our tongue. Help us to know whether we are the right person to say something. Whether that's the right person to speak it to. Whether we are saying it with the right spirit, and whether it is the right time to say it. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be so careful that we would not cause strife with our tongue. We would not say things that we ought not to. But Lord, that we would guard our tongue so carefully and speak fewer things. Lord, we pray that you would be with us in our morning worship service, that you would draw us closer to you. We pray that you would be with those that are sick. We ask for healing. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.